Joe Courtney, Democrat, Connecticut, 2nd District, in office since 2007. Joe Courtney, where's your office now? Is it in the Cannon Building where I first met you, or have you moved over to the Rayburn
Building? I migrated to the Rayburn Building.
Yeah, what a difference in the two buildings. People may not know that, but you know, when I was an intern and I worked in the Cannon Building, they dropped off a bucket of ice every morning outside the office. When you go to the Rayburn Building, you think you're the Sultan of something. I mean,
yeah, although Cannon, I think the architecture is more interesting.
It's true.
But it, as you may have heard, I mean, it's actually going through a massive renovation because, they do need to have, better data equipment and refrigeration, so they need buckets of ice.
Buckets of ice.
Whereas Rayburn, although it is more up-to-date and has a little more space, it's pretty sterile in comparison, so...
I used to get there at 6 o'clock in the morning, and there was a famous, I don't want to use his name here, he's gone now. He was from one of the southern states, and he had been a judge, and he would come in early in the morning. I'd be sitting there at 6 o'clock, 6:30, he would come in, and he'd grab some of that ice, and he'd chew it up, and he'd put it behind the gap in his teeth, and then he would go get a little gin.
Pick me up for the day.
Yeah, yep. That was it. Because his wife was just, in those days, the wife was the chief of staff in his office. I don't think they can do that anymore.
That's prohibited.
No more. And she was a real teetotaler. She wouldn't let him do anything. So that was fun. Okay, so how come the late Antonin Scalia can't seem to find a replacement for the Supreme Court? I mean, he's dead. It's time to go, isn't it?
It is. I mean, in Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution is pretty explicit that the president shall appoint, with the advice and consent of the Senate, any justice or a nominee to replace any vacancy on the Supreme Court. And, it really, I have to say, I mean, obviously my politics and Mitch McConnell's are pretty different.
Sure.
And I, think his obstructionism over the last 7.5 years, has really hurt the country in a whole variety of ways. Just, normal functioning at level. But usually he's been pretty clever about, the approaches that he's used in terms of the rules and procedural objections. But this approach that he's taken, which literally came within hours of the announcement of Scalia's passing, was just a complete sort of full frontal assault on, the president's, totally constitutional authority to proceed the way the founders called on. And so we're in this situation right now where, it used to be just Congress was gridlocked. Now we have the Supreme Court is gridlocked. And we saw it probably play out with the appeal of the president's immigration order, that if we have another 4-4 split, you're going to have, again, one jurisdiction of the country that has a certain legal regime, and then other parts of the country with a different one. And that happened with the decision on union dues. And, this is really just totally inexcusable. If the president sends over a lousy nominee, then that's on him. Or any president, in terms of the advice and consent of the Senate to reject, but to not even allow the process to move forward to give this candidate an opportunity to explain himself and introduce himself is really, in a way, I think it just really lowers the respect for institutions in this country to another low, and it has such profound damage that it's causing in terms of people's confidence in our government, which at some point, is still fragile, as Benjamin Franklin warned us many years ago. Mm-hmm. And this one really takes the prize. And I think the president has sent over, not just a credible candidate, but an outstanding candidate. And he deserves, I think, the opportunity to, as I said, explain himself and introduce himself.
So, Joe Courtney, I guess I wanted to ask you, because that's substantively why this should be done, but politically, Put your political hat on for a moment.
Yep.
Do you think it's damaging the Republicans who refuse to do this?
I do, actually. Yeah. And, you know, there's enough polling out there that really shows that independent voters, you know, unaffiliated voters, and actually sizable segments of the Republican voting population in this country just does not buy this approach. And, you know, it's just, I think, you know, really going to cause blowback if again the process is totally obstructed and that there's not even an opportunity to have an up or down hearing and decision on this gentleman's candidacy.
I guess I want to switch subjects for you because I only have a couple of minutes, but I know that the opening of Cuba has caught your eye. Do you think we're doing the right thing?
I do. The prior policy obviously really was not working in terms of, changing any of the dynamics of the, politics of that country and certainly its system of allowing people to have freedom of expression and to have a more open political system. So I think what the president has done is, after 50 years, realizing we need to try something different. Clearly this is not going to have the effect of an overnight transformation of the country into a liberal democracy, but there's just no question that, I think the opportunity to have U.S. Tourists, U.S. businesses, U.S. farmers getting into that society and really having a chance to intermingle with people is going to have a beneficial effect in terms of changing, what is still, in my opinion, an unacceptably oppressive government.
On the other hand, Joe Courtney, I would remind all of our listeners, and I know you know this, the president recently went to Saudi Arabia. They're no prisms of virtue.
No, that's right. And I, again, think that the way Cuba got sort of pigeonholed as somehow, an outlier when we do business and interact with other parts of the world, really was another kind of huge contradiction in the U.S. Policy and approach. I do think Cuba is probably more amenable to having the sort of political benefit of opening up, the access to the society that's there. Again, I just think they're so proximate, they're so close that the family relationships and the back and forth is really going to force the country to change in terms of, what people's expectations are, given the proximity. And again, the sort of common cultural and familial connections that exist between the two.
Well, last question, and I only have a minute and a half. What about those UConn women basketball players?
They are an amazing group of young women. Obviously the WNBA voted in terms of their incredible, characteristics by drafting them 1, 2, and 3, the three seniors who graduated.
Wow.
They are the ultimate student athletes in the finest sense of the world. They're all outstanding students. Gino Auriemma's track record since he's been coach has been almost perfect in terms of the graduation rates of the kids who go through that program. And I think, some of the, kind of cynics out there that somehow this isn't healthy for women's basketball have it completely wrong, that they are raising the bar across the country in terms of what people's expectations are. I think women's basketball is better today nationally than it was when Gino first became a coach, and it is because of the, almost Vince Lombardi-like excellence that he's created there.
It's always great to talk to Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut, second district in office since 2007. And we'll come back and we'll talk some more about elections.
Thanks, Alan.